الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين استفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
The science of tasawwuf is one of the traditional sciences of our deen. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was created with certain inherent characteristics. And those characteristics were at the pinnacle of creation. Every single thing within the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the pinnacle of mankind. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in, the Prophet tells us in hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, and I am the divider. It's a famous hadith along those lines. And what that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered within the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the pinnacle of each aspect of the deen. And then subsequently, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided those aspects among the ummah. So for example, if you want to look at the source of tafsir, it's going to be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to look at the source of the Quran, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to look at the source of fiqh, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to look at the source of politics within the deen, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to look at the source of jihad, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to look at the source of hadith, explication of hadith, tajweed, qira'ah, any branch within the deen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the source and the pinnacle of that. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, he then subsequently passed down this inheritance to the rest of the ummah, which were mostly the companions at that time, obviously. Now, this is the inheritance, this is what we talk about, that al-ulama warathatul anbiya. There's a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the ulama are the inheritors of the Prophet alayhi salam. What this means is this is the inheritance that they're talking about. These characteristics and qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the source of the deen. The ulama inherited these characteristics from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but no single person within them had the ability to attain the perfection that was present within the Prophet alaihi wasallam. And so what subsequently happened was groups of ulama inherited various aspects of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's knowledge of his experience and of his deen. So for example, a group of people inherited from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the science of tajweed. And so you see there's a whole science develops after the expiration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beginning with the Sahaba and up till now, in which a group of people have devoted their entire life towards the preservation of the recitation of the Qur'an with proper tajweed. That's one aspect. Similarly, you look at fiqh. The Prophet ﷺ was the source of fiqh. Subsequently, some of the Sahaba, not all of them, some of them became the people who inherited the majority of the Prophet's fiqh. One of them, for example, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, etc. There's 5-6 big ones among the Sahaba. Those people inherited the fiqh of the Prophet ﷺ, and subsequently that fiqh was solidified into schools of thought, and then that subsequently has been passed down to us over 1400 years. So every aspect that existed in the Prophet ﷺ was solidified by a group of ulama. In the same way, there was a spiritual aspect of the Prophet ﷺ. His zuhud, his abstaining from the dunya, his zikr, his devotion to salah, his nighttime prayers, his cleanliness of heart. These aspects of the deen were preserved by a group of people called the Mutasawwifin. They were those people, starting with the Sahaba and going all the way through for 1400 years, they were those people who, within the guidelines of the Sharia, they were still bound by the Hadith, they were still bound by the Quran, but within the guidelines of the Sharia, they preserved the zuhud, the asceticism, the zikr, and the stages of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were present in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now obviously they didn't do it at the level of the Prophet alayhi salam, but they made their best attempt to inherit whatever the Prophet ﷺ was to pass on to subsequent generations. So that's how the science of the tasawwuf actually developed. It's one of the traditional sciences that exists within the deen. Now the purpose of the tasawwuf is actually two or threefold. The first and foremost is that a person develop a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the most important. And the second is that a person develop the characteristics of someone who's connected with Allah. That's a very important concept. The person who interacts with a human being with no connection with Allah is very different than the person who interacts with a human being connected to Allah. And that's why the Prophet's characteristics were so unique. The way he spoke, the way he acted, the way he responded, the times he got angry, the times he became happy, the gentleness, the sweet tone in his voice, all these things were a reflection of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when somebody develops a connection with Allah, one of the signs is that their mannerisms begin to become like the mannerisms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's various purposes of tasawwuf. Now, within tasawwuf, there's three main things. Number one, there's a guide. Number two, there's a path. And number three, there's a goal. So these are the three big ideas within tasawwuf. There's a guide, there's a path, and there's a goal. The guide, the requirement of the guide is that the guide be someone who follows the Sharia, who inculcates the Sunnah, and who has the ability, the authorization, to guide people along this path. The benefit of the guide is that, one, the guide has traversed the path himself, so he can tell you where the pitfalls lie, and he can tell you where the difficulties are to be encountered. And number two, not only has the guide traversed the path himself, but he has access to a group of people who have, meaning he has the ability to do rujua to his teacher. And three, that guide is guiding other people along the path. So he has experience across a broad spectrum of the population as to where people make mistakes, where people get caught up, and where people might be tripped up by shaitan or their nafs. So that's the important aspect of the guide. The path. The second thing is the path. The path, the requirement of the path, is that it be along the Sharia and the Sunnah. That's obvious. And then the path is that which has been developed by a group of scholars and by a group of people who, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, picked out those aspects of remembrance of Allah, of developing a person, that are most beneficial for the people in their time and their place. For example, the whole concept of muraqabah. So let's take the concept of muraqabah. Now, the purpose of the tasawwuf, if you want to put it into one sentence, the purpose of the tasawwuf is something called nisbah. Nisbah. This is a very important word. Nasaba means to be connected, to connect. And the purpose of the tasawwuf is actually nisbah. It's that you attain nisbah from your teacher. Now what nisbah means is nisbah is a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which occurs by spending time in the company of the righteous. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment they laid eyes on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their hearts became connected to his, and his heart was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they attained something called nisbah immediately. They attained this connection immediately. Over time, people realize that in order to attain this deep connection with Allah, they need to come in the company of those people who are connected with Allah. So the Tabi'een, they sought the company of the righteous among the Sahaba. And they quickly developed this nisbah. The Tabi' Tabi'een, they sought connection with the company of the Tabi'een, and they quickly developed this nisbah. Over generations, because of the difficulties of the times, because of the fitnas that arose, because of the distance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time-wise, people began to realize that the nisbah would not transfer over immediately. The ability and the connection was not transferred immediately. Instead, teachers began to realize that if a student is going to obtain nisbah, he's going to have to perform some degree of effort to purify himself first so that the nisbah could be transferred between two hearts. This was their experience. So they saw, for example, that if a person came to them and that person wanted to get connected to Allah, they couldn't just sit in the company for 5 or 6 minutes or 5 or 6 days and immediately just go and their connection would remain. Instead, they found that they had to assign certain zikrs to these students. And so what they did was they searched through the Sunnah, they searched through the Qur'an, and they said, okay, X, Y, and Z zikr has been prescribed in the Qur'an, let's prescribe that to the student, and as the student's heart began to become pure, that's when they saw that the nisbah would eventually transfer over in a very quick way. So that was where lessons began to develop. It's the exact same thing in the science of Tajweed, for example. Now, initially, the Sahaba didn't sit there and say Iqra and practice their qalqala with a letter qaf. They didn't need to because they grew up like that. They were in the environment of Tajweed. As they grew up, the whole idea of Tajweed was already inculcated on their tongues. But after generations, 3-4 generations down the line, when distance occurred between the Arabs and the new Muslims, and that Tajweed did not exist within the society, teachers began to realize that if they want to transfer Tajweed, the science of Tajweed, to a student, they have to sit and make the student go through exercises. So they would sit and say, okay, say Iqra, say Iqra, say Iqra. And over and over and over, the student would begin to repeat this until it became inherent within that student, and then they would pass into a knowledge of Tajweed. So in the same way, just as sitting and reciting various letters of the Qur'an is not the purpose is recitation of the Qur'an, in the same way the lessons that are assigned by the mutasawwifin, the muraqabah, the lessons within muraqabah, etc., they are not the goal in and of themselves. It doesn't matter what lesson you're on. That's not the goal. The goal is actually to create a state within you. And that state is the state that existed in the Sahaba at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now they had the benefit of the environment of Islam, of the environment of Risala, of the environment of Sunnah, of the environment of Medina, subhanAllah. So when they sat in Medina, all those states, they automatically transferred over into their heart in a very, very quick way. But for people like us, who are 1400 years distanced from Medina, and who live in an environment of Kufr, and who continuously are slipped up by our nafs or by shaitan, these lessons take an extremely important role if we truly have the goal of attaining the nisbah. And so the last part of the tasawwuf, right, the first was the guide, the second is the path, and the third is the goal. The goal is nisbah. And so that is what each and every one of us should aim for. Now, when we assign lessons, and when we tell people you should do your first lesson, you should do your second lesson, now you can move to your third lesson, the only purpose of these lessons is that you be able to attain states, and that you experience the deen, and that you begin to purify your heart. The signs of progress from the beginning, in the hands of the guide, to the end, when you attain the nisbah, the sign of progress is that the sunnah and the sharia come into your life. Nothing else. So the purpose of the lessons is not that you close your eyes and you feel like a cool wind is blowing through your heart. It might happen. In fact, it probably will happen. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is that the Qur'an and the Sunnah become inculcated in your heart such that you develop a love to enact those things. Why? Because those are the commands of Allah, and you have no greater desire than to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, unfortunately, we get caught up in two aspects of the tasawwuf and we leave the third. One, we get caught up in the guide. So we begin to get very excited about the guide. We begin to say, check out this guide. We begin to surround the guide. And we get very caught up in it. And then we forget about the fact that there is a procedure that the guide has to take you upon. And three, we get caught up in, and we cut caught up in number three, which is actually the goal. So we look at the goal, and we look at the guide, and we think both of those things are excellent, but then we don't do the actual work that's required. And you're not going to get from the guide to the goal until you actually fulfill the requirements of the path. So that's essential. Now, we've had the opportunity over the past week to spend time with a guide, and we had an opportunity to view the goal, because many of the people who came to spend time in the company of the guide had attained the goal, and so we get to see what it's all about. But the fact remains is that we all have to fulfill the requirements of the path. There's no way around it. If you don't fulfill those requirements, there's no way that your heart can become prepared to facilitate the transfer of that nisbah. Now, when the mashayikh come in our presence, when we spend time in the company of great mashayikh, whether they be great scholars, or whether they be great mutasawwifin, or whether they be great qadis, if you're not ready to take from them, you're going to minimize your benefit. Let's say a big mufti comes to Chicago tomorrow. If you've studied fiqh for 5 years, and you've prepared yourself, and you've got great questions in the back of your mind, you will benefit from that mufti in ways that nobody else in the room will be able to benefit. If you don't know the first thing about fiqh, you don't know how to make wudu, you don't know how to make salah properly, and the mufti is sitting before you, you lost out. You wasted your time, and you wasted the mufti's time. Why? Because you could have sat in front of a kindergarten teacher, and you could have learned what you needed to learn. But when the mufti was there, you didn't take what the mufti was able to offer. So in the same way, it's the exact same thing in tasawwuf. the purpose of these gatherings is to prepare ourselves for the next time that the Mashiach come into our presence. That's why we have these gatherings. That's why we assign these adkaot. And so now we've got this period of time, whether it be 6 months, whether it be a year, to prepare our hearts. And that's exactly what we need to do. The person who prepares, they are the ones who attain. Without fail. Without fail, that's what I've seen in my life, that the person who prepares in any subject, in anything, if they prepare, they are the ones who attain. So, all of us, or most of us, have been practicing our lessons. And most of us have been inculcating the basic adhkar that are required to progress closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, the challenge is to make that regular. One, to make it regular, and two, to do it with depth. That's essential. The muraqabah that's assigned, it has to be done with depth. Now, many of you have been doing 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. The reality is that you should do at least 1 hour a day. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no way around it. These muraqabahs, which actually have been derived from the Quran and the Sunnah, these muraqabahs are there in order for your heart to be developed. But it's not going to happen in 1 minute. There's no way. You cannot expect to sit for 2 minutes in muraqabah and then say, why don't I attain the goal? Impossible. Nothing in life would be attained by putting in minimum effort. You're not going to attain your degree if you don't go to class. You're not going to be able to pay your taxes unless you fill out the form. You're not going to be able to buy a car unless you get a job and work and earn some money. In the same way, if you want to attain the goal of nisbah, of a deep connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be done through effort. And the effort that you've been given, subhanAllah, it is tried, true, and tested. This path, it is tried, true, and tested. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen that people who put in their effort into their lessons, they progress in ways that you could not, they could not imagine. If you would have sat with them and said, 5 years later you'll be in this spot, they would have laughed at you. But they took their lessons seriously, they put the time in that needed to be put in, and subsequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala developed them in ways that people would have never dreamed. So now the ball's in our court. All of us, many of us have our lessons, we know what we should be doing, we've got to put in the time. There's no other way. You've got to put in the time. As you put time into the lessons, you'll begin to see that the sunnah will begin to come into your life and the sharia will become easy. When those two things occur, then you're on your way and you're in fifth gear and you'll eventually reach your goal. But if you don't put in the time, you're not going to be going anywhere. You'll be watching other people go places. You'll be spending time in the company of people who have gone places, but you yourself will be looking at your feet and you will not have moved an inch from where you started. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to devote ourselves to our lessons, to perpetuate our lessons, and to get depth in our lessons. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم